Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I see Beyonce has moved on to her next genre.
Yeah, girl.
Yeehaw.
They say Texas. It's in my Texas. Whoa.
What I want to know is, when is she going to go full Dublin to get us on board?
When's she going to collab with Versatile?
Hello and you're very welcome along to the Unpopular Opinion Podcast. My name is Jen.
And I am Carla.
Should we dive right in, Carla?
Let's fucking dive right in, Jennifer, because I can't believe myself.
I've been watching halftime shows all fucking day. Mm-hmm. Feeling crying as well. I don't think she likes them very much.
I don't really blame her. They are spectacles. Like, there is, we've actually done quite a bit of research into this one.
Oh, but Jesus, we just snap it. For once.
For once, yeah, for fucking once. But yeah, so this was actually something that we didn't have in our bingo card, but everybody asked us to do. So we're going to be talking a little bit about Usher at the halftime show. Mm-hmm. We have done an episode on Usher. We did it 4 years ago on our Patreon.
You were saying that there and I was like, when? I don't remember that at all.
4 years ago, we picked him out. Because we were like, he's had a mad old life.
We'll have to do another Jason Derulo episode since we're going to see him,
yeah. But Usher is one of my, like, absolute no skips. Could listen to him sing all day. Mm. Think he's a mad joke. But I was so excited when he was announced for the Super Bowl because I had just seen him in Paris.
You did, yeah.
Yeah, so I saw him at Le Cien Musicale. He's doing a Vegas residency. He brought a version of the Vegas residency to Paris for Fashion Week. He did 2 weeks in total. I went to one of them. That is why I went to Paris in the first place, because I always wanted to see his Vegas residency, and it was working out like crazy, basic ticket $400 plus your flights, and that was a basic ticket and they were always sold out. So I was like, you know what? I'd rather pop over to Paris. Still paid a serious amount of money. I can't remember if it was over 200 quid anyway. Jesus. Possibly over 300 quid. I can't remember how much. Anyway, it is what it is.
Because when I was watching this, like, some of the songs that he was singing, I was like, fucking hell. I was really young when he was at his peak. Like, I could pinpoint moments of me teenagehood.
Yeah,
with every song that he sang, and I was like, Jesus, he's actually gone years, but he's like, he doesn't look any different. Like, he's aging like a fine wine.
He's aging like a fine wine. He has looked the same, but he, like, when you see him in the You Make Me Wanna video, you're like, you are such a baby. It was 95 he had his debut.
Stop.
95, and he was a child, like.
Yeah.
He was a child bride. He was
child star.
Yeah, he was a kiddie wink, and that was kind of like the whole thing. He's only 45 now, which blows my mind. Like, I thought he was in, like, if you think that J-Lo is well into her 50s, yeah. I think it's mad that Usher is like a good bit younger than
J-Lo, actually.
When you think about it, because they're kind of the same era now.
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, this kind of freaks me out. Like, Jennifer Lopez is 54. So he is nearly a decade younger than her. Yeah. 9 years younger than her.
Jesus.
Like, which is mad. Because that time to me is like the two of them.
Yeah.
Definitely. As in, they were very much kind of, I remember You Make Me Wanna. But I don't remember any of his music before that. But anyway, that's not what this is about. Mm-hmm. we want to talk about the Super Bowl and then Super Bowl performances. Like, so many people were like, have to hear your opinions on how it was. It's had a really mixed reaction, but I do want to preface this by saying that, like, first of all, I think it's gas that, like, we give a shite about the Super Bowl nowadays.
Do you know what? And when, like, when we were talking about this on WhatsApp the other night, I was like, it's actually gone really
big,
widespread. Yeah. But it's more so because of the halftime show. Like, when they first started, they were marching bands. Like, they were trumpets and trombones and all the likes of it, you know. And then they started bringing pop culture into it. So it's just gotten kind of bigger and bigger every single time. But that's the whole point of it, is to bring a more of an audience into it. That's why they brought the whole pop culture thing into it.
Well, they're just kind of like, I mean, at the end of the day, it's massive, massive marketing spend for everyone. So, like, now, I will say the first thing that I think, what I thought of the Super Bowl then versus what I think of the Super Bowl now. Obviously, it really started, to me, it started picking up speed when Lady Gaga did it. That was when I really kind of started paying attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that was 2017. So that was like the year that I actually was like, oh, right, okay, this is something that, like, we're all memeing. Like, there was, like, you know, the claw jump that she did. Obviously, we'll chat a little bit more about her. Fucking the belly flop, hilarious. Or the one at the end where she just grabs the ball and just hops off again. Like a mad joke. Anyway, obsessed with her. But that was kind of around the time that I paid attention to it. Then it started, like, picking up pace. Obviously, last year it was Rihanna's turn. And
very memeable.
Very memeable. So I need to double check, actually. I don't know if Roc Nation own the contract. Possibly. So
for
I
the
think
halftime
they might.
Show?
Yeah.
What I gathered from it was that it used to be MTV. And okay. Then after Janet, after the wardrobe malfunction, which I have extra thoughts on now after really looking into it, then it got switched to, it could be Roc Nation. I don't know who got switched to, but got taken off MTV essentially after that. They were like, no. And then she was blacklisted off absolutely everything. And then I just thought it was interesting that Justin Timberlake got his own halftime show then a few years later when they weren't even allowed to play Janet's songs.
Right, that's so mad to me.
It's fucking mad. Yeah. Like, she was only short of being stoned in the street. It was a boob.
It was a tit. It was literally
a boob. Whether it was a publicity stunt, and, like, still nobody is fucking admitting to anything. Like, personally, and I'm not standing up for Justin, not a fan, don't like him, think he's a dick. I don't think he would have had it in his brain to go, oh, look, that thing looks like it could come off Janet. So I'm going to go and try and grab it and take it out. I don't think he would have been smart enough to even comprehend that her thing could have come off. Then there's, like, reports of this was only said to him, like, 20 minutes before the show. This is his PR people that are saying that. Then it was like somebody went out and bought the nipple shield the weekend of the Super Bowl and said, oh, watch out, wait till the end, wait till you see the surprise or whatever. Nobody's admitting to whatever happened. What, regardless, Janet got fucked and Justin just escalated.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get that. So I've actually, while you've been chatting away there, I actually looked that up to get confirmation. So Roc Nation have collaborated with the NFL. I was about to say NHL. That always trips me up. The NFL for the past 5 years to pick who's going to actually do it. The reason why they did this is because previous to that, the NFL, bloody, I keep thinking the NHL. I'm like, that's a hockey league now. The NFL.
The NHS.
The HSE. It was actually the HSE. They used their paper records to try and see who'd be the best, to be honest. Paper bills. Why not? So before that, they used to chat to a couple of different people at once, then waited to hear who was interested, and then kind of decided who was the best one.
Oh, okay.
No, so they clearly burned a lot of bridges. So Jay-Z then got involved and was like, and he said, this is a direct quote, after 3 years, 3 people play and 9 people are upset. There aren't that many superstars in the world. You're going to run out of people. Fair. Yeah. Sorry, like, bang on, Jay-Z.
Yes.
Do you know? Mm-hmm. Good for you. So they started collaborating together. So that's where the Roc Nation, I didn't realize, I thought it was like a contract with their artists, but I was like, that wouldn't make sense because
no, yeah.
As far as I'm aware, 2022.
And then what's the story? Because the last couple of years it's been Apple Music. They're just a sponsor, are they?
Yeah,
because well, it used to be the sponsors, Pepsi, and then
the sponsors do change. So that's another thing. Because when, like, at the start, I was like, I could have sworn this was a specific contract. And then I always thought it was Pepsi, but it wasn't actually. It was like fucking at one point, I'm not sure if it was Duracell or some fucking mad ale sponsor that was doing it back of the Black Eyed Peas like one.
Bridgestone used to do it. Like, it was, there was so many different ones, and Apple seemed to be the ones for the last couple of years because it was the Pepsi. And then one year was a fucking J-Lo. It was a whole year, and it was like the Pepsi Zero Sugar Free halftime show for NFL. Like, it was just like the fucking title of it was just gone ridiculous. Like, Pepsi Sugar Free Zero, whatever.
Yeah, it was like Pepsi might cause cancer, but probably won't. We're not really sure. Halftime show.
The fact that it was Pepsi and not even Coca-Cola, like, that's just America all over.
Yeah. So they took over the contract, and they did. So the people that they have been quote unquote involved in was booking J-Lo and Shakira in Miami to celebrate Latina culture.
Yeah.
They had, now I knew the tie because it was very obvious. I mean, I think, and that's one of the shows that I want to talk the most about, which was the Dr. Dre show in LA, which was like inspired by Inglewood and how they grew up, and like, and it was actually done out like that, which I thought was so fucking cool. And then obviously Usher now in, like, with Rihanna was just Rihanna. I can't even remember where was hers, like, not tennis.
Houston
maybe, possibly, not really sure. Anyway, so Rihanna was just Rihanna. Nobody could believe that they actually managed to nail her down and get her suited to singing. So and then Usher in Las Vegas because he has a residency there anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. But to be honest, I think it makes sense at this point in time, because like in an artist's career, like the people that they have doing it, you have people who have really active music careers. Like Beyonce will never not have an active music career. I think she's shown us now, it doesn't matter what decade she's in, she's like flat out going to be making music, which is kind of stunning. Rihanna has obviously went and concentrated on her other business ventures, gone off to, you know, raise a family as well, and all that kind of comes with it. With Usher, he's now in his like residency era again. He's 45, and that was one of the reasons that I wanted to go and see him, and I said this on the podcast at the time, like, he is a performer, and my whole thing was I want to see him. He's not in his prime, but he's definitely going to be phasing, like, he's 45. Say what you want, he's an apt, like, he's a great showman. He will continue to be a great showman, I would say, for probably another 20 years knowing him. But he is a dancer, he is a performer, he is a singer, and age is against him.
Yeah, I get you. What did you think of his performance? Like, your opinions on it?
On the Super Bowl one?
Yeah.
On the one that we just saw, or the one, sorry, I was like, there's like, look, I understand why people weren't, I can kind of get why people weren't mad about it, but I think as well, you have to like, they tried to do too much. That, like, the overall thing was they did try to do too much. People said he had too many guest stars. I don't think that's true, because I think he was trying to, like, it was in Vegas. This was his big, also, this is a big call out to, like, book more shows for people to come to his residency more, do you know? So it's like, it's also like a marketing thing. So we'll run through the set list a little bit. I think there was way too many songs that they rammed in. They just tried to do many things. That was my issue.
With the amount of songs, I was like, why? This is so chaotic. Why is he doing ballads?
14 songs he tried to hit.
Jesus Christ.
That's just too many fucking songs, right? So let's chat about it. He starts with Caught Up, which I think is like grand, great call to the floor there. So it goes from Caught Up to You Don't Have to Call.
Then sorry, you're just after skipping where the camera goes up to him and he looked directly into me soul.
Sorry. And that's,
did you see him looking directly into me soul, Carla? That was just for me.
He was looking into my soul, actually, Jennifer.
I was like, oh, stop it, Usher.
You're like, Usher. So anyway, yeah, he went from Caught Up to You Don't Have to Call. Then he went into Superstar. That went then into Loving This Club. I think out of those, like, he didn't have to do Superstar. He could have spent a little bit more time in the kind of Caught Up and You Don't Have to Call, because they're such, like, specific Usher songs. Like, bangers.
Because there was a few in there that I was like, what the fuck is this song? Does he have a new album? Like, what's he trying to do here?
He does have a new album, yeah.
I was like, just do your bangers, come on.
he does have a new album, but he wasn't like trying to concentrate on that. He went into Love in This Club, which is like not my favorite Usher song, but it is an Usher banger.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. And then this is where it started to like not fall apart for me a little bit, but this is where I was just kind of like, for fuck's sake, they gave Alicia Keys a minute to do Ain't Got You, which I'm not sure if you've seen the actual version versus the autotune version that they're after publishing.
Oh, stop. So I was watching these like after the fact, because as much as I love to give me opinions on these things, I will never say up to watch them live.
No, you're not. No, you're like, yeah, no, absolutely.
So,
not.
And like I had it on at one stage because Adam was after doing a lot of painting in the bedroom. So I was actually sleeping in the sitting room with the baby because I just didn't want to come up to the fumes and stuff. And I had it on, but it was on plus one. And I was like, I didn't know what a point we were at. I was like, I'm simply not staying awake to find out if I can see this live or not. So I was like, no.
A couple of my friends were texting me like, are you watching? No, babe, I'm in bed. I'm sleepy time. Night. I've got work in the morning. No, I'm not fucking watching it live, you mad cunt. I'll see it in the morning. Yeah.
Well, then I probably did get the auto-tune version because I watched it after the fact. So
all you have to do is put in voice crack Alicia Keys. That's all you have to put in and it's there. So like, look, she was fucking playing piano. Like, petition 2024, detach that woman from her piano.
Yeah. She looks fucking amazing though.
She's so beautiful. And that's not...
And the body on her. Jesus Christ.
I know. She's phenomenal. I
couldn't take my eyes off her.
Yeah, but she's not now. I will say I'm not an Alicia Keys stan. I'd say there's one of her songs that I enjoyed. Like every time she come on the music channels, I'd be fucking fuming. I'd be like, oh, here we go again.
It's because she's a ballad singer. I'm the same with Westlife.
Yeah.
I'm like, shut the fuck
up. Kind of the same, aren't they, Alicia Keys and Westlife?
Jeremy Kennedy, exactly the same. Mm. And then like Jeremy Kennedy, Sean, like all them kind of just ballad, constant ballads. I'm like, come on, bring out a fucking rave tune.
Bring it to the flow.
Alicia, do a Beyonce on it. Like, cater to the audience that you're trying to get on board here. Come on.
I hated that song she even did with Beyonce. I thought it was so mid.
Oh my god, I liked that.
Of course you did.
I did. I like kind of weird. There's a bit of a weird rhythm to that. I liked it.
Yeah, it was like dum 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 dum. Yeah, no, it was too like offbeat. I was like, what?
It was like a street drummer.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like trying to stomp the yard and I couldn't quite get it. But so it went from Ain't Got You into probably, and again, a very controversial and unpopular opinion. My boo, hated it from the start, hate it to this day.
Yeah, it's not great.
But it was a huge, like, you're talking number one for weeks on end song.
Yeah.
Like, on the Confessions album, which I always forget, I always thought it was like a single, just kind of like a collab single, just kind of put it into the world.
Right.
But it wasn't. So it was actually part of that whole thing. Look, I could have done without Alicia Keys having a solo moment. I don't think it was necessary because, like, I don't think of Usher's career and Alicia Keys. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think those two things are synonymous the way that I think, like, when Ludacris, Lil Jon and Jermaine Dupri came out, I was like, this makes sense. That's the gang. That's the crew.
I know, but Carla, since, like, from watching the amount of them that I watched today, there's so much of that going on that doesn't make sense. Like, the Black Eyed Peas were fucking Slash.
No, I know.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it just... Well, we'll talk about that separately, I know, but it's just... There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah, but I think...
Like, Madonna had M.I.A. on the fucking stage.
Yeah, no, that was also fucking... Look, there's a couple of bonkers things that have happened. Yeah. I also find it hilarious. Like, if I was J-Lo and Shakira and they tried to, like, lump me together, because I think that Shakira could have done it on her own. I think J-Lo could have done it on her own. The fact that they lumped them together and shoved them both out, I would have been like, fuck you, I'm a big enough star. Because I don't think it's necessarily how big your profile is. I think it's how many kind of cultural number ones and kind of songs that have, like, sticky songs that you've had more than anything.
Yeah, definitely. But like you say, they were trying to do the whole the Latina vibe, and then didn't they go with the it was when Trump was trying to fucking build a wall and everything like that, so they had the kids in the cages and stuff like that. Did she have Emmy on the stage with her? Was that Emmy?
I think so. I think you're right, yeah.
Because if that was Emmy, and I think it was Emmy, she walked so that Blue could run. But Blue still walked.
And Emmy sings, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was like, I think that's definitely one of our twins. Like, but then they, like you say, Shakira was fucking amazing on her own, and so was J-Lo on her own. But then that was the whole, like, did you watch J-Lo's documentary on that?
No.
Yeah, so it was the whole thing. She was pissed off about it, like.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, yeah. There was a bit of that. It was just like, why is there two? And then they were trying to split their time. She was trying to be fair. Like, she does have respect, but I think there is a bit of a bridge born between the two of them since, which obviously didn't get involved with the documentary. But the whole documentary was called Halftime.
Okay, maybe I should, yeah, I should probably go watch. Like, again, it was one of those things, like, I'm not mad. J-Lo's not my favourite.
No, we've said before, she's not as iconic as she thinks she is.
Exactly, and I think this is the problem. I think she oversims her position. Like, she's very much, she kind of always has, like, I don't think she's as culturally relevant. I think anybody could have sang the songs that she did. And I think that she does get away with a lot because she is unbelievably beautiful. Like, it's not even normal how attractive she is. And also, have you seen that thing about your mom bringing her the coffee and she was an arsehole?
No.
You know that TikToker, you do know him, you'd know his face. He does this thing where it's like, bring this person a coffee, or like, he brings people a coffee from, like, he flies across countries.
Oh,
like,
yes, with the face. Like,
With
the faces in them.
Yeah, with the what in them?
Oh, no, there's somebody who does coffees, and you know, with the froth, he can put their faces in them. He's like a coffee artist kind of thing. So it's not him.
But he said, basically, he went on some podcast and they were talking about it, and they were like, who's the real, like, was there anybody that wasn't the way that you thought they were going to be? And he was like, yeah, J-Lo just, like, didn't get the joke. And then she kind of, like, and then he, like, they play the little clip that they kind of do, and it's so, like, badly acted, and you can kind of smell the tension. She didn't really understand, and then she wouldn't really play along, and then she tried to, like, take creative control over what was happening. Very strange.
She's definitely a micromanager, like, definitely.
Yeah, like, you're like, okay, girl, whatever. Anyway, so we've gone to song 6 out of 14. That's where we're at. It goes from My Boo into Confessions Part 2. Should have spent more time on Confessions Part 2. Got rid of Nice and Slow, which was next, and spent more time on Burn, right?
Yeah.
The reasons being, those are, like, Confessions is obviously, like, this song that, like, it's the album title, but it's also the song that everybody, it's still memeable. It's the one where it, like, brought together this, like, real theater of what he was doing in the music videos. Everybody wanted to know the lore behind it. Everybody was like, oh my god, I can't believe he did this. Turns out it wasn't him, it was Jermaine Dupri who got the side chick pregnant.
Gas. Oh, you said this before. Yeah, it was. Now I remember the other episode. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, now you remember. Yeah, it wasn't actually fucking him even at all. So, but what I find gas is at that point, he was like, yeah, let me do this. If I was Chilly, I would have been like, you can shut the fuck up and you won't be. You won't be out there, everybody thinking that you ripped me off. Yeah. I would be like, you absolutely won't be. How dare you?
Anyway,
so shoved in Nice and Slow, don't believe that it was worth it. Burn, I think, should have had more of a moment. I'm obsessed with Bad Girl, like, obsessed with Bad Girl, but I didn't, like, if you go Confessions Part 2, then it goes to Nice and Slow, like, all slow songs. Burn, slow song. Bad Girl, kind of mid-tempo, then down to You Got It Bad again.
Yeah,
like, do you know? And then we go into the absolute abomination that I don't know one person who actually enjoys the song, which is Oh My God.
No. Definitely not.
But he had to do it. I think he had to do it because at the Black Eyed Peas halftime show, Will.i.am dedicated
he brought
the whole
brought
section.
Mel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And somehow Will.i.am is, again, a main character energy person where he seems to think that he should just insert, like, he's a blight on the music community. He inserts himself into so much stuff, like, into insane amounts of things.
That wasn't your man. You know the way that there was a fellow with a mask on and he was singing that part, the auto-tune part, the Will.i.am part? That wasn't Will.i.am, wasn't it? Was it?
That was Will.i.am, yeah.
Because I was looking at it going, he didn't fucking do this, did he? This was before I watched the Black Eyed Peas one and realised that they brought Usher out. But I was like, he didn't fucking show up with this. I was like, no, that's an actor, like, just a fella that looks like him, just to, for a bit part. It was fucking Will.i.am, was it?
It was Will.i.am, and it didn't suit anything.
No, it didn't.
It didn't suit anything.
I didn't even recognise him, to be honest. I was questioning whether it was him or not, or an actor.
Well, he literally, of course, this is what I mean. I'm like, and he could tell, he was like, yeah, fine, you can get your little section, do your little Oh My God in your mask, fuck off.
Yeah, that's what he did. And he literally, you see the back of him walking off the stage.
Yeah, he was like, anyway, cool, baby, let me love you down. Right, we're going to move on. We're going to keep this bad boy moving. We're going to keep going. And that's all well and good. Anyway, then it goes into the best portion, and the portion that I think they should have spent more time on, which was, and people have, again, are like, why was Lil Jon there? That has nothing to do with Usher. But I'm like, it's about, with that part and with the whole halftime show, I think he was like selling us the vibe and selling us the nostalgia as much as he was selling us like his show. Because like, obviously then he finishes on Yeah, which is like famously his biggest song.
Yeah.
Right. He's like, loads of people debate this. I think it, no matter what, people are like, yeah. And I think Yeah is also one of those songs that in 10 years time, it will still hold up and seem current. Like, it doesn't sound like of a time. It's just like an all out, like out and out banger. Everybody loves it. It is overplayed, of course.
Yeah.
But I think at that time it was like such a thing. And I think Turn Down For
everyone.
What,
it gets everyone on the dance floor. And Torn Down For What, I thought that was a great, I was like, oh, imagine the fucking atmosphere in that stadium. Like,
I would. Also, Lil Jon.
Yeah, I know.
Looking great. Looking great.
Looking fucking fantastic. Ludacris coming out. I was like, ah, we took a break from Fast and Furious. Bless him.
I know. And I think that was,
I was like, because he came out and I was like, I am seeing this cunt every single fucking day because that bleeding, all that franchise is on my telly 24/7. With Sky Movies and stuff like that. I'm just like, Jesus Christ, Ludacris. I don't see the bleeding back yet.
And I think, but I thought it was perfect. Like, this is what, like, Ludacris is so fucking good. Sorry, something as well that I thought was amazing, apart from, like, the Alicia Keys voice crack, which I'm like, get over it. It is what it is. Like, every single person that he brought out sounds the same as they do record. Like, Ludacris's voice and rapping is so unbelievably smooth. Like, that was like, for a live show, that was fucking insane. And I was like,
it's fantastic. Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And same with Lil Jon sounds the same. Now, the one thing that I will say is PD Pablo found rotting. They used two of his beats. Now, I know there are Jermaine Dupri beats, but I was still like, if I was PD Pablo, I would have been like, why am I not getting this fucking section for Freak Leak?
Yeah.
You fucking bang that one out there.
Yeah.
I'd be fuming. Now, again, people were like, why did Jermaine Dupri just kind of like hop on? I'm like, because Jermaine Dupri basically made Usher, and Usher is well aware of that.
Yeah.
Like, that was his number one guy. That was his producer. And I've said it before, the best concert I've ever been to, and like, I'm somebody who hates concerts, but when I said I go through it, I think it was me and you were like, for somebody who hates concerts, you've sure been to a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I hate them. I think I just hate Irish. I hate the Three Arena. I think that's more my issue, and I hate crowds. But like, Jermaine Dupri has produced our childhood. Nelly.
Yeah.
Like, he is like Nelly's career. He did so much work with Ashanti, obviously Janet Jackson. He did work. He worked with everybody. He was like their person. So when I went to his gig in Vegas, he just played all of the tunes that he produced, which was like the best night of anyone's life.
Yeah. Do you know what's funny? You're saying Jermaine Dupri and he did all of this. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
No, I don't think most people could. He only really had one song that kind of stuck around enough to get onto like our music channels, which was, you know, I gotta get you.
Nope.
Okay, I'm going to put it's a banger. It's a good song.
Yeah, okay.
Janet Jackson's in it as well now. She kind of just does more of a spoken word piece, but like,
yeah.
It's a good tune. You definitely know the beat. If I was to play it, you'd know the beat. I'm going I'll put it as our stomper of the week anyway, because it is a banger.
Yeah.
I will say that. Okay. But yeah, I think it was important. Like, I think for his career, it's important because obviously he finished it being like, this is for the A. What was he saying? Like, this is for the A, did it for the A. I brought the A here. Like, he's obviously talking about Atlanta. And that was like the whole thing, piece up A Town Down with Yeah. And like having everybody. And he made a real moment of that. And I love the fact that like Ludacris just ad-libbed with him. I was like, fucking yeah.
Yeah. I love the way that they did all the little bits at the end of it. Like, thunder clap, pick. Then I was like, oh, Gen Z found rotten. I'd say they're looking at it like a rock away. I was like, oh, I'd say Gen Z are cringing.
Like, disgusted. And we're there like, wah! Giving it everything.
Yeah.
But look, a couple of things. I don't think he sang enough because he was trying to dance too much. I think there was way too many songs. I will agree with that. I would have preferred, like, because he is an unbelievable performer. But I think the problem is, like, when you do the halftime, you're trying to give everyone everything. And I think there was an element to him trying to like maybe sell his shows a little bit. I think like the fact that like they did the whole oh my god transition so that he could go and get changed into his second or third outfit. I think it was like started off with the jacket, took off the jacket, had the breastplate, then went into the like ripping off the top and all that other kind of stuff, and then went into the oh my god the blue. Now, what I will say as well, sorry, we completely forgot the fact that he brought out her to do the guitar riff again. Yeah. Like, fine, was cool. Don't know if necessary.
Definitely not. There was no need to change her outfit. Like, we all knew and loved you with the vest and the white pants. Just
yes.
With that. Like, because again, from watching all of the shows like today, I was like, even the outfit changes, like, they're fucking. I'm not a fan of Katy Perry, but fuck me, can she change quick?
Oh my God, her and Lady Gaga, I've never come across people who
Jesus
can change so quick.
Christ, unbelievable. Yeah. Whereas he was gone for like 3 minutes.
Because to let fucking Will.i.am stand there and pose for it, like, yeah. And like, now I understand, like, the guitar riff, and a lot of people were saying that was so relevant and that's so important. Like, personally, to me, it wasn't, but whatever. Mm. Good for you, yeah. People. I think the thing that, like, not annoyed me, but I was like, the roller skating is a big part of his residency. Like, it was a big part in Paris, it was a huge thing, but like in La Cien Musicale, it's like the way that the stage was and the way that they had built it was so, like, it was like a roller rink,
right?
So and they were fucking flat out, and he was singing, and I mean, he was going at least a lot of miles an hour. I was going to say 60 miles an hour, wasn't happening, but he was going very fast, like very fast, and singing the whole time, no bother. And a lot of people were like, oh my God, can't believe that he learned. But like, I think the problem was they tried to reinvent the wheel. So it's like, he didn't want to give the choreography from his tour. Just fucking do the choreography from your tour.
Yeah. Even if it, yeah, I know. And then I'd say getting, like, same with the outfit changes, getting a pair of roller skates on is a fucking pain in the hole.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Getting them off as well.
And I get, again, this is what I mean. It's like he wanted to do every idea that he's ever had, he wanted to do, and he wanted to like add all those bits in. But I'm like, you could have done that with 4 or 5 less songs. Get rid of Alicia Keys having a few minutes on the piano. Nobody gives a fuck of bollocks. And then do your little My Boo strut. That's all anyone cared about anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and like it was trending, Swizz Beatz's reaction.
What does that mean? Sorry, I'm out of the loop here.
So Swizz Beatz is her husband. And you know the way, like, now Usher has chemistry with the wall. So, and people were like, oh my God, like, because he is, like, he's an invasive performer. If you see him and perform a fucking anyone, he's all over them. But that's just how he is. Like, that's kind of like, that's the persona that they built him to have. When he was younger, he was like the lover boy. Do you know what I mean? He was like known as, like, you know, the baby face and real cheeky and oh my God, like, and he kind of played up to that, like, woman, like, quote unquote womanizer. Like, he fucking sang Confessions as if it was like, I believed him. I was like, she opened up the door and didn't want to come near me. I can see it.
Yeah.
I believed it. Do you know what I mean?
I gotcha. Like, no, because even when I was watching that, and I was like, because they were doing the hugging and the spooning and stuff like that, I was just like, it's a good performance. Do you know what I mean?
Big spoon.
Yeah, he was right behind her, but bless it. Like, she's so much taller than him.
The confident, like, that was never a thing, even because I was like, he doesn't give a shite. He doesn't give a fucking shite. That woman could be like 18 foot taller than him.
He has
could be like
arms wrapped around Alicia Keys. He doesn't give a fuck.
No. And I love that about him. I love the fact, like, him and Lady Gaga have such a commitment to the bit.
Yeah.
You have to, like, you have to admire it. No matter what your opinions are on Usher, like, you have to admire the commitment to the, like, he is just so charismatic. And even in his show, like, at his concerts, you feel like he's looked into your eyes, not just anyone's eyes. You feel like he knows you. Like, you're in the crowd and you're like, you're singing to me. This is fucking mad.
I said this at the top. Yeah. Like, he looked into my eyes at the start of that performance.
Yeah. Like, I sang to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's why I'm like, if he had done There Goes My Baby, because that's a big part of his residency. If he had done There Goes My Baby, I would have literally been like, I cannot, like, oh shit, this is inappropriate. Like, people are going to know it. Stop.
Tom's here.
Yeah. I would have been like, you did this to Keke Palmer. Hello. Like, you can't keep doing this to people. Like, yeah. Happy in my relationship. Stop.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
like, stop targeting me through the TV. Loser.
Oh, fuck's sake. Yeah, now he is. He's fine.
He's like, it's not even that. It's just the charisma. He drips it. You're just like, how fucking dare you? Now that I know a little bit more, like, well, obviously not now that I know a little bit more, but like, when you know a little bit more and you know the fact that, like, he was very much like put into situations by Bad Boy and P. Diddy and particular Puff Daddy, as he was known back then, in particular, into a lot of situations that he was like, I was too young to see that. I was too young to be around that. Like, that's troubling when you know now that, like, his career has kind of been, like, when you think of Usher, you think of sex in a way, because you're like, that's kind of, you think of bangers, but you're also like, he has a lot of sexy songs. Like, he has songs that people have conceived to, a lot of them.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's very
true. I think that was one of the other one of the big things. Also, what fucked me off more than anything is, so he goes and does his big change, and then Will.i.am doesn't even open his legs wide enough for your man to get through it. How dare you ruin the bit?
Loafed him in the arse, didn't he? Kind of just a crotch face.
Open your leg. Like, you're so obsessed with being there. You're so fucking obsessed with being there. And do you know what annoys me even more? They clearly did it with a dancer beforehand and practiced it with a dancer. Yeah.
And Will.i.am was like, I'll do that.
And he was like, actually, that's perfect. I'll just stand there. And Usher was like, oh, Will, you're here. Are you? Fuck. thought I gave you the wrong date. Oh, you showed up. It's like that lad who shows up to the afters. That's Will.i.am. Oh, fuck, who told Terry?
Yeah, I know. What's he doing here?
Yeah. Jesus. And like brings like the worst kind of beer with him. And you're like, oh, brilliant. You brought beer, did you? Yeah. Worst kind. Mm. Brilliant. Now we're all just going to have to fucking sit here and listen to you shite on while you drink your very specific craft IPA.
Yeah.
And tell us all about the time that, like, you did ayahuasca. Like, no one gives a fuck. That's Will.i.am on that stage.
Oh,
that's what that was giving to me.
Yeah.
Some other things that kind of annoyed me, like when he ripped off the shirt but didn't wipe his face.
Ooh. Or when he went under Will.i.am's legs and got caught and there was still sweat on his face. I was like, this man cannot see anything. No. Someone wipe him down.
But also he is a sweaty performer, which is fine because even in his show, he wipes his own face. He grabs a towel when he takes a beat and he just gives himself a little, but no one gives a fuck. Everybody's like, slay. Like, yeah, Rihanna stopped and fucking powdered herself. Yeah. Like, hello? I'm like, there's ways of doing it. You ripped off your shirt. You could have ripped off your shirt and, like, given yourself a pat down, did a swing around your head, and people would have been like, oh, give me the fucking shirt. Do you know?
Yeah. You could have sold it. Like, I know, I will say, because there was at one stage, I was like, ah, the poor fucker. You could see that he was, like, his eyes were struggling. Like,
you can't see and no one cares. You're Usher. Yeah. You could literally just stop and be like, 2 seconds, guys, I'm a bit sweaty. And everybody would be like, oh, I love him.
Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. Definitely.
Brilliant. He was dead right. It was uncomfortable. He couldn't even see. How could he have done anything? So I'm like, don't compromise, like,
the performance.
Just don't compromise everything. I like something that I thought was really interesting. So his makeup artist used Blurring Balm by Danessa Myricks on his skin, which is the same, which is like, that's why he looked airbrushed. Mm. Even when he's sweating, you can see he looks like he looks airbrushed underneath. And I'm not sure if you saw the Tracy Chapman performance at the Grammy. At the Grammys.
I've seen clips.
One Grammy. And she looked absolutely unbelievable. And her, like, it's the same thing. Like, her art, makeup artist used the same thing. And I was just like, wow. Like, wow.
Can I have this stuff?
You can order it. It's on Cult Beauty right now. Like,
I will also say, though, like, anybody that I know, like, Black Don't Crack. Do you know what I mean? They are they age fucking phenomenally in any way.
No, I know, but Danessa Myricks is a black-owned beauty brand, and she was like a working makeup artist. Like, her stuff isn't like, it's sold in Sephora and it does really well, but it's not like, it's not MAC. She's trying to create like makeup that's workable and like you can use like actual like workable like makeup that you would have in a makeup kit. Do you know what I mean? It's not like all about like, she's not just being like, lip gloss is really in right now, I'm gonna launch lip glosses. No, like, and she really understands. She understands black skin incredibly well. Yeah. And her products are just, her products are phenomenal. But I just thought it was like, wow. Like, the one thing that I will say, and the whole time that I was staring at Tracy Chapman, I was like, makeup artist, fucking hats off. Whoever did her makeup, it is so tasteful. It is so well done for somebody who doesn't wear a ton of makeup. You know, I was like, it's so perfect. And then to see Usher as well, I was like, you know, no matter what, you do need, like, you need makeup when you're on a stage with that amount of lighting, with that amount of everything. Otherwise, you're going to look like a little walking corpse on that stage. So, I thought it was really like, I thought it was nice as well, because I was like, it's nice that like somebody who actually understands and is a very respected and well-known makeup artist, and somebody who's put in like her years of work, like, is being used in kits by black makeup artists, not only black makeup artists, but people that are doing incredibly amazing, like celebrities and stars. And it's like coming through on camera. Like, the only thing I gave a shite about with that Fast Car performance was who did her makeup. Like, an immediate follow. Like, I was like, holy shit, she looks phenomenal, you know? So that was a big thing for me. The only other things that, like, as I said, Lil Jon looks better now than he did back then with his little sippy cup. Do you remember he used to bring that fucking stupid sippy cup everywhere? Rhinestone.
And Lil Jon. Sandy.
Yeah. He's rocking out like. So I thought that that was cute, but also I loved the little, like, I just loved their little thing at the end. As I said, Ludacris is just, he could fucking sing me the alphabet and I'd be like, yeah.
He could punch me in the face and I'd be like, thanks.
I'd be like, thanks, Emil, you're actually brilliant. You're fucking brilliant. Do that again.
That punch was crazy good.
That was crazy. But again, you're really good at this. You should act again. You're really good at that.
I'm not gonna, like, he's actually a good actor.
Have you heard his song One More Drink? If I had one more drink, I'm gonna end up with you. That's what you wanna do. Shout it. Like, but in that, there's like a acted piece at the start. And it's the most natural acted piece I've heard. You know the way in a song you're like, shut up, like, this is so embarrassing. Like, there's nothing more mortifying than there's like some spoken wordy parts in some songs and you're like, this just didn't work. I can't believe your producers let you away with this.
Yeah.
Like, it, and you left it in. That's kind of mortifying. Like, even like, I'm just thinking like Sabrina Carpenter nonsense at the end. She's like laughing at me and like, that one's not going to make it.
Oh, I get you. Yeah. We're doing the studio.
He is a part of One More Drink, and it's like him and his mates, and he's like, I'm going to go. And they're like, no, you're staying, kind of thing. And it's the only one that works. It's literally the only one that I'm like, here we go. Like, I'm listening to it, and I'm like, I'm about to get ready for this tune.
Nice. Right. Okay. Yeah. He's a star. He's a born star. He was born a star.
Champion of the world. I just thought it was fab. I love the fact Jermaine Dupri was there. I love the fact they all get together at the end. They're all moving. And like, Usher is again glaring at you, being like, Atlanta. I did this. This is for Atlanta. Me and you, Atlanta, all of Atlanta are going, holy shit, like, it's a call out. Like, where were you? It's like the spaceship, the UFO in the sky. Everyone's stopping.
Yeah.
And I just love the fact that him and like Ludacris obviously just ad-libbed a little bit at the end. I just thought that was so fucking cute. I just loved it. I just loved it. But again, way too much shite. Shoved way too many songs in there. Didn't sing enough. Danced. Like, we get that you're like twerking and you're doing the thing with the like rocking microphone. We get that that's like what you were known for. That like, what's it called? That like tick dancing? Whatever the
Yeah, I get you. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Twitch was really famous for it. That kind of style where it's like, it looks like you've got like flashing lights on it. Anyway.
Kind of like a really fast robot.
Yeah. Like a stop motion robot.
L one's here. Like a robot, but faster.
Like a robot, but not really at all. But you know what I'm saying? Do you not know what I'm saying?
How's that fucking kind of vibe?
I'd say people are crying right now listening to this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But anyway, it was brilliant. I won't have a bad word said against him. And I also think that like people need to get over themselves with what they're expecting out of these performances. Mm. Not everything has to be such a fucking circus all the time. And unfortunately, I think that like, well, we'll talk a little bit more about it on the Patreon about like previous Super Bowl performances, but like something that Rihanna's, everyone was like, I was so underwhelmed with Rihanna's. How were you underwhelmed with Rihanna's?
No, it was perfect.
It was. It was perfection. That girl sang like she has never sang before. And she does have to give massive props to Paris Globel, I think is how you... Globel. I don't know if that's like her little stage name or if that's her actual name. Anyway, she's a New Zealand choreographer. She got famous off, you know, the Justin Bieber Sorry video. That was her dance trope, you know, with all the girls dancing. Yeah, yeah. She kind of got like her bit, sorry, she didn't get famous for that. She was obviously very well known, but she got like viral. She had viral fame from that. She did all of Rihanna's show and she had to re-choreograph it, obviously, when they realized that Rihanna was pregnant and won't be doing all that movement.
Yeah.
And when I mean go onto her page, she puts up the videos, they're all pinned. The work and the time and the effort that she put into every single second of sequence, she made that like, Rihanna owes her fucking life to her for sorting that whole thing out, because it was a spectacle, incredible. We weren't even focusing on the fact that like Rihanna was just like shaking her ass a tiny little bit and doing like a hand movement. No one.
When I watched it back today, I was kind of like, she's only given 10%, but it's enough. Because it's enough. Obviously she's pregnant in it. And like, she's not going to be absolutely, like, she still gives it, like, she's still doing the nasty. Like, you know what I mean? She's still quite nasty.
Yeah.
Like, she just, there's some of the moves that she's doing and stuff like that. But it was like, I forgot all about the white coats and the fucking, she was the red coat. And then it was like, is this the sperm and the fucking ovary kind of thing? Like, there was a lot of speculation about what the team was and stuff like that. And then the memes, you know, of the crowd and walking out with their arms fucking spread wide and all. That was very funny. But it was really good and all the choreography. But she, that was, it was perfect because the stage setup was right down the middle of the field. It catered to both sides of the arena because, like, we'll talk about all the rappers. God love the people that were sitting at the back. But, like, everybody could see she did. Yeah. Like, it was set up for fast songs, bangers, for the ballads as well. Like, it was fucking perfect.
And that's Paris, though. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, I get the creative direction, but she made that choreography. Like, please look at her page, and she's pretending like she's doing the Rihanna, like she's like holding the mic or whatever. Oh my God, she had like, the dancing is so intricate. People couldn't really see how intricate it was because of the costumes. I think it just made like the whole thing just look cool, though. I don't really give a fuck because like Rihanna doesn't have to like shake her ass all that much anymore because she's Rihanna. It's like very much like Beyonce could just kind of stand there and I'd be like, fair enough, you're Beyonce. Like, not my absolute favorite thing in the entire world, but you are Beyonce and you could just stand there, babe. That's absolutely fine. But what Rihanna did do is, I think, sing the best I've ever seen her sing, I would say.
Yeah.
So fair fucks to her, and an amazing set list, flowed perfectly. I think the issue with Usher's one is it didn't flow perfectly.
Yeah. And Rihanna didn't bring out any guests either.
And that's another
one
thing.
Of the I'm very like, few that didn't.
Start to finish, being, what was she, 5 months pregnant at that point? Mm. Like, being 5 months pregnant, she bodied that, like, bodied that. And I know they had to change a lot because obviously she signed the contract probably before she realized she was pregnant, all that other kind of stuff. But they really adapted. And I know there was something like, I know we spoke about it when we did do our episode last year when we were talking about it. And I think there was like a last minute, like 3 weeks beforehand, it was either she was hard to track down or there was something going on where they basically had to create the whole show and then insert her into it.
Yeah, there was that. And then there was something like, because remember last year when it was Rihanna on TikTok after, there was a load of our dancers coming on and like talking about the BTS and stuff like that. I was like, you never really get this with any of the other shows. Like, you never get the dancers kind of, there mustn't have been any NDAs or it must have been really last minute.
They hire their dancers from TikTok.
That's what it was, Gary.
They hire their dancers from TikTok and they're able to get the outfit. They were able to keep the outfit. Do you remember they were all like a camping marshmallow and I get to keep the outfit? How fucking cool is that? So they were delighted. So there was 150 dancers, I think. So there was obviously the core team. But that's what I mean. That's how amazing Paris is. I'm like, there was the core team.
Yeah.
And then there was like all of the extras, and she managed to have the whole place. Cause like there's dancers that do like most of it. And then when We Found Love comes on, they all run out onto the pitch again. Like, and there's like more fucking, you're like, where are you getting these fucking Jesus Christ. Like, who let the dogs out?
Yeah. You know, it's gas.
So big slays all around. Anyway, we have to continue this on Patreon.
We do. Something to just mention though, the Rafa strike while it was happening, just on the main.
Absolutely.
And then I just, well, actually, a little, just a tiny little bit part, just to kind of show you how America works, and the, like, we do need to remember that this is all just capitalism at the end of the day. 7 million for a commercial slot. The commercials are very famous as well. We might talk about that another time. But they did not, they didn't stop. There was no stopping during COVID while we were all in lockdown. These kept happening. So just remember that. There was no break. No. Super Bowl happened. Super Bowl happened all 3 years, baby.
You weren't taking that away from them. No way. Was America saying no to the football.
No, absolutely. Or the money. Absolutely not. And then obviously this time around, it was the Rafa strike as the Super Bowl was happening. Well, everybody's attention was on Super Bowl.
So not only the Rafa strike was happening, but they also had Bring All Dads Home, which was one of the biggest ad campaigns to basically, like, essentially, a great, like, essentially, I know Michael Rapaport is so, so frustrating. I used to really love that dude.
Explain this to me now. I'm not too sure what you're talking about.
Did you not see this? No. So, they had a campaign. It was one of the big ads.
Okay, sorry, I didn't see any of the ads now.
Okay, so one of the big ads was hashtag bring all dads home. And it was essentially like, it was a little bit of like Zionist propaganda, to be honest.
Of course.
Yeah, so it was kind of that. And it featured Michael Rapaport, some kind of other people. To be honest, I don't want to big up the ad too much because it was, you know, if any eyeballs on it is...
Bad eyeballs.
Oxy. Yeah. Say any eyeballs on it is absolutely against anything that I really want to kind of bring.
Yeah.
To anybody's attention. But I thought that that was particularly criminal to do while we know that they had the worst airstrike that they have ever, ever done in this whole genocide on Rafa at this moment in time. And also decided to put a little bit of advertising money behind it too and do an ad, hashtag bring all dads home, apart from the ones that you want to bomb, apart from the ones that you decided aren't worth it. Cool. And it was almost like a kind of, it was very ambiguous. It was very much like kind of like, oh, the hostages and fucking bollocks. Like, it was embarrassing, to say the least.
Stop. I hadn't got a clue that that was after happening.
Yeah. So that is, that like is, was one of the main frustrations as well. They did just enough to piss, like they did just enough to kind of like get people riled up about it while also the bombing of Rafa was happening. Just like insane criminal behavior happening in front of our very eyes. Like beyond fucked up.
I can't even speak. Like, do you know what I mean? It's just, there's so many fucking things to say, and America has such a big fucking hand in it. It's like, it's sick. It's actually vomit-inducing.
And it is really unfortunate that, like, sorry, it's not really unfortunate. Like, oh, they ruined the Super Bowl. I couldn't give a fuck what happened. I don't care who wins. I don't. It's not something I give a bollocks about, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, but that in particular, I was like, you greedy, violent pricks.
Yeah.
Is all I have to say.
I know. That's just, it's fucking, it's just mental. It really is just fucking mental. Do you have an unpopular opinion before we go?
I do, yeah.
Well, you've actually had loads of unpopular opinions.
There you go. That's mine thrown in there. Like, don't. It's still, I'm like, I can't believe we're kind of ending on this note, but at the same time, it's so.
I think it's important to be
the
said.
Fact that it's happening is like still in my brain. Just
I know. Insane. It's like, it, and now it just feels like, obviously, everybody's calling for a ceasefire. Well, anybody decent is calling for a ceasefire. It just doesn't feel like it's going to happen. And
I think it might. I don't want to say that it couldn't. I can't be calm about it. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to even put that energy out into the world because I'm like, it's so fucked up. This has been happening for 5 months. Sorry, it's been happening a lot longer, but it's been like ramped up incredibly aggressive since October, start of October. So it's like, I just don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
War crimes all over the shop, gang.
I know. Right, well, you've Jermaine Dupri for your stomper. That link is down below. Patreon link is down below because we're going to continue the conversation over there. We're also going to talk about past halftime shows and talk about some submissions that people have sent in, what halftime show they'd like to see and what songs are non-negotiables. And we're also going to record our monthly roundup with Reese Creed. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we hope you enjoyed and sure, look, we'll talk to you next week. Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.